righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Sports Radio. We have a conversation for you with Steve Spagnuolo, the three-time Super Bowl champion defensive coordinator, has won two championships with the Kansas City Chiefs, one with the Giants coming up an hour 20 from now. We will play you that at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. So today we found out, and usually after the Super Bowl, you get a coordinator or two that gets hired, and there was two jobs left open, and the Colts made their decision, and the Arizona Cardinals made their decision as well, where the Cardinals are going to call over the Chiefs defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. And today, you did have Shane Steichen get introduced as the next head football coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So that makes it five jobs that were open, five jobs that are now filled. And you go through the hiring cycle, and I just give you my reaction to all five. I thought it was a little bit of an underwhelming process and underwhelming results. Now, just because it's not the sexiest of names in the world and there are not a lot of hires that elicit this great response, it doesn't mean that your team has made a terrible hire, because there are years where you get guys hired like Adam Gase and you get guys hired like Dirk Cutter and you hear all these things about how great these coaches are supposed to be, and sometimes guys are just better off doing what they do on one side of the ball, whether that's an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, and they're not good head coaches. And there's no shame in that. It's just not everyone is fit and cut out to be an NFL head coach. And there's a reason why you usually have a lot more jobs open than the five that were available this go around. I know we're coming off a year where there were 10 jobs that were open. So if you just go through kind of the cycle process, you expected that number to be significantly lower this year. And for it to be at five, it's not shocking. But outside of really D'Amico Ryans and then Sean Payton, the other three names don't really excite me. And that's not me saying that Jonathan Gannon's going to be horrible as the head football coach of the Cardinals. He did a really good, outside of the Super Bowl, Jonathan Gannon did a really good job this year as the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. I think sometimes people are afraid to say, I don't know in this business. I don't know how he translates to being a head coach. And I know Lou Anarumo was one of the finalists. And I hear Charles Davis 2 weeks ago come on this show and rave about the way that Lou Anarumo commands respect in that Bengals locker room. And you know he's a leader of men. I don't know, and this is not me saying that Jonathan Gannon can't do it. And we've heard Jonathan Gannon be considered for a head coaching job before. Remember last year with the Texans. But for me, I just don't know how he's going to do in the big boy chair. Same for Shane Steichen. Like, I'm impressed with Shane Steichen has done the last 2 years in Philadelphia. I remember I was interviewing Anthony Lynn after they got rid of their offensive coordinator and made, it's only a few years ago, Shane Steichen the interim offensive coordinator. Then he took it over for, I believe it was a year on a full-time basis before going to Philly. Shane Steichen is a solid offensive coordinator. I saw what Philip Rivers said today. I've seen what other players have said about him. Is he someone that I think is the most sought-after guy? No. And the Indy job wasn't that popular. And there's a reason why a guy like Shane Steichen winds up in Indianapolis. Now, if Shane Steichen gets his quarterback in that division, I know right now, like, the really only threat, I would say, or the team that you look at for the next 5 years and you know is going to be solid, is the Jacksonville Jaguars, because you have the franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence and you have an exceptional coach in Doug Peterson. You look at the other teams in that division, you know, I like the D'Amico Ryans hire, but the Texans got a lot of work to do. And for Tennessee, they've had a really good team. They had a window the last few years. They were 7-3 and they missed the playoffs this year. We know Vrabel's a phenomenal coach, but he needs to find who that next guy is. And as great as Derrick Henry is with running backs, you never know when running backs' career could come to an end. And he's their offense. Because you never know how long the lifespan and the shelf life is of a running back in this league, as great as Henry is. So can Steichen be good? Can Gannon be good? Yes. if I had a job that was open, am I rushing to hire either of those two guys? No. But I'm also not the one doing the interview. I'm also not the one that thinks I have an understanding of how they're going to translate into being a successful head coach. And for Frank Reich, I think Frank Reich is a fine hire, but when you get rid of your coach so early, like how Carolina did, and also how the Broncos did, and also how the Colts did as well, I think you could have done better than Frank Reich. Now, you weren't getting Sean Payton, because I don't think the Saints, even though they allowed you to interview him, I don't think the Saints were ever going to find a way to get a deal done to see him twice a year in your own division. Frank Reich is a fine coach. He's not great. He's not bad. He had some success in Indianapolis. He's a leader of men. He has a ton of NFL connections, and you're already seeing him starting to build that staff. When you bring in guys like Jim Caldwell, when you bring in Deuce Staley and some of the other names that are winding up in Carolina. But the thing with Frank Reich that really discouraged me was the last 2 years. Inside that division, going to Jacksonville and never being able to win, constantly being unprepared the last 2 years up against Tennessee, and this year when he was there, he got outscored each and every week, each and every game. Never had a lead at halftime going in through the first 30 minutes of the game. That's just, I know that you could say, oh, the offensive line regressed. I know you could say you didn't have the quarterback. Remember who wanted Carson Wentz in Indianapolis? That was Frank Reich. So the ending in Indy doesn't make me say that Frank Reich is this horrible, inept coach, but it makes me raise an eyebrow because things got bad the last 2 years. Now, if you find your quarterback and he's able to stay healthy, maybe you don't see what happened the last 2 years in Indianapolis. So that's always part of the conversation. But the Panthers have a lot of work to do. The Panthers, for me, have a good defense. Offensively, they got a long ways to go. Because outside of DJ Moore, there's not a lot of names that you're looking at that are saying, okay, they're going to be part of this team when this team is ready to win. But once again, you're in an NFC South that it's up there for the taking. I just personally, if it went to what Steve Wilks did down the stretch, either sticking with Steve Wilks or going to Frank Reich, personally, I would have gone what was in the building just because Frank Reich doesn't overly excite me when I hear his name. But the other two hires, for the Broncos, you had to go big because this is a franchise-changing moment in your franchise. You won that Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Ever since then, it's been a QB carousel. You thought you got your guy in Russell Wilson. Not only did you give up the draft capital, but right away you inked him to that lucrative extension. You needed to bring in the best possible coach out there, regardless of the price, regardless of what you had to give up to get him, because this can't be one of those things where you bring someone in and then 3-4 weeks in or a month or two in, you're saying, uh-oh, I have some hesitation. Because if Sean can't get Russell Wilson right, I don't know. And not that Sean's the end-all, be-all, but he's a phenomenal coach. I don't know who is going then to be able to salvage the career of Russell Wilson. So I like that move that the Broncos made. And for the Texans, I do like the hire of DeMeco Ryans because it's finally admitting that even though they've been rebuilding the last 2 years, you actually bring in a guy that I could finally say, okay, I could believe whether he's successful or not, that's a different thing, that this is the guy that you're going to try to build to win with. Because when you bring in David Culley, when you bring in Lovie Smith, you knew those weren't guys that you were going to win with. They were just going to be placeholders. And quite frankly, and I know there was a lot more to that hire, if you're going to get rid of David Culley, then you should have never got rid of him in the first place if you were going to end up going with Lovie Smith. I know there was other circumstances that factored into it. So, hey, can DeMeco Ryans turn out to be one of those guys that is a big-time name and is the most sought-after guy and he ends up flopping? Yeah, absolutely. That could happen with any defensive or offensive coordinator that gets these jobs. But I do trust the leadership style of DeMeco Ryans. And when I was in Philly towards the end of his career and the things that you heard about him in Houston as well when he played for the Texans, he was basically like having an extra coach on the field. Now, how many players do you get like that don't translate into being good head coaches? A ton. But he is deserving of the opportunity. So if I had to kind of rank these hires, I would say, since it's a known commodity, the Broncos made the best hire. Then I would say DeMeco Ryans. Then at three, I would go Frank Reich. And honestly, I don't know how you decipher Gannon and Steichen. So I would kind of tie them, tied for the last spot when you look at Gannon going to the Cardinals and then Shane Steichen winding up with the Indianapolis Colts. You look back at these hires, Hickey, the five that were made. DeMeco Ryans to the Texans, Mufasa, Jonathan Gannon going to the Cardinals, Shane Steichen to your Indianapolis Colts, Sean Payton to the Denver Broncos, and then Frank Reich going to the Panthers. How do you kind of reflect and look back at those five?
Well, I'm with you. I think the Broncos by far hit a home run in terms of Sean Payton having him be their head coach, because that was, look, you got to get it, you have to get a guy that could fix Russell Wilson. There's no one I would trust to try to turn Russell Wilson's one-year downturn into an upswing more than Sean Payton. So the process maybe is a little uneasy. It was a little disjointed, you could say disorganized, with how kind of back and forth some reports were, you know, of Sean Payton's interest, lack of interest.
But that doesn't matter as long as you get the right guy. I don't care how the process goes.
Yes, the process.
Like, for example,
not to be desired, but the outcome was absolutely a home run.
The process was drawn out in Denver. They ended up getting a guy that everyone gives two thumbs up to. The process in Indianapolis seemed very sloppy. And this is not me trashing Shane Steichen. Like, when Doug Peterson was hired in Philadelphia, people thought that was a sloppy process. It ended up working. But with how long and drawn out that Indianapolis process was, and how many people they interviewed, and you should interview a lot of people, but you heard like reports about like third round interviews and stuff like that. Like, to settle on Shane Steichen, it's like, okay, like, I get it. It's an offensive minded coach. You're rebuilding that offense. You have Jonathan Taylor. You got to fix that offensive line. You're probably, if you heard Jim Irsay today, I'm going to go out on a limb. You're at four right now. It would not surprise me if they move up in the draft to go get their guy of the future. It may end up being a wonderful hire. But right now, I have no expectations in me thinking and me saying definitively that, oh, Shane Steichen 3 years from now is going to be this wonderful head football coach in the league.
I would have called the Colts process sloppy. That's probably actually the last word I would use to describe how they went about the last month. It was long. It was drawn out, but it was airtight. I wouldn't say sloppy whatsoever. It was organized.
It seemed like a lot of times they didn't know who the heck that they were going to hire. Just with how long that process did go. And maybe because it went out this long, and you see sometimes what that happens is a guy like Shane Steichen could not have been hired until after the Super Bowl anyway. But like, for example, you thought there was no shot that Jeff Saturday was going to get the job. That's what you said. Why then drag Jeff Saturday along and give him a second interview? Like, isn't that sloppy?
I mean, Jim Irsay wanted to hear from him. So, I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but...
Guy was there for 7-8 weeks. What else did you need to hear from him?
We
after one
plan.
Interview.
I mean, he wants to say, you know, he wants to have a plan. He wants to tell you his plan. I mean, again, you're trying to have me get in the mind of Jim Irsay. I can't do that.
Exactly.
I wouldn't give him a first interview. But it's not like they were scrambling to find candidates. It's not like they were rushing people in the last minute like the Cardinals were after their search didn't really go as they expected.
Correct me if I'm right or wrong here. They never ended up, they were the only team to not pursue Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Why didn't that happen? That's the best name on the market. I think that's a bad process if you're not at least kicking the tires and seeing where it goes with Sean.
Well, I mean, I think that they, I'm sure, reached out and maybe he said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm not interested. Maybe they said, I'm not interested in trading for a head coach if we're going to be trading up to get a quarterback. Like, I don't think it was, we don't think Sean Payton's good at a coach. I would say it's either he was not interested in them or the fact they saw right away we got to give up draft capital that we need to move up in the draft.
Would you have given up draft capital for him?
If it meant I couldn't trade up in the draft, no, I wouldn't have. It's really tough. But
they have one first round pick, right?
Yes.
At four? What happens if you traded a future first round pick next year?
Well, you probably need that to trade up with the Bears. Probably. So it's
you're at
tough.
Four,
it's,
though, right now. You could get your guy potentially.
It's one of the two. You know, I think it's either you trade up for a coach or you trade up for a quarterback. I would take the risk right now of trying to trade up, if it was me, to try to get Bryce Young.
Okay. That's fine. But once again, to not even have a conversation with the guy, that's part of it what I don't get. Now, maybe it hasn't been reported this way. Maybe they went to him and he said, I have no interest of going there. Now, if that's the problem... It shows you how Sean views that Indianapolis Colts organization, because he talked to every other team but Indianapolis. So I would wonder then what that reasoning would be.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, they got 13 people in the door, so it wasn't like a lot of candidates were saying no. It was just very, they took their time.
If I'm being honest with you, and you're not going to like this, I hope Shane Steichen fails miserably in Indianapolis.
Well, that's very nice.
That's one reason.
Why is that?
Because I really wanted Jeff Saturday to get the job to see you rock at a 63 in your skull. That would have been really funny if you had to shave a 63 into your head.
I'm glad I can look back now and like Jeff Saturday again. That's for sure. I appreciate Jeff for his great play on the field, and I'm glad I can stop hating him.
Do you have that audio of, what was he, like on a river it looked like today? At a lake or something like that?
He was far away from the football field, which is all that matters to me.
Before I play you this, do we really need to get a video message today from Jeff Saturday? Do we need it?
That's a fair question.
Because when I saw it, my first thing was, you didn't get the job. We know you're going to wind back up at ESPN. Unless he really wants to give this a go, and he got a little taste, and he's not going to be a head coach again until you put in some more work, maybe he wants to go and join one of these staffs. I don't know where his mentality is, but I would think Jeff Saturday most likely winds back up on a desk somewhere at ESPN.
I would say the video was appropriate. You wanted the job. You obviously spent, outside of the 1 year in Green Bay, your entire career there. You want to say goodbye and thank you to the fans, but you're not going to do it at the end of your press conference because you're thinking, I have a chance to get this job. I get it. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, thank you for re-accepting me and re-embracing me when I went 1-7. Now, here's one thing that, though, Jeff Saturday can't say, that Frank Reich can't say. At least he had a lead one time at halftime this year. Up against the lovely Las Vegas Raiders.
A few leads against the Raiders.
That's true.
I mean, they did have a 33-0 lead at halftime against the Vikings. You know, that we love to hopefully forget.
I love the Jeff Saturday era. It created a lot of pain for you.
If it ends up in Bryce Young, I will love the Jeff Saturday era as well.
It's funny how that works. I told you very early on, Hickey, not that I make a lot of right predictions, but I told you very early on in that Colts podcast that you hosted, when I realized your team was not going to be the team that we all thought they maybe could be, start to lead the charge. Lead the charge for Bryce Young. And I'll never forget you looked at me and said, oh, why will I do that? It's not going to happen. And then a month later, you have Hickey on that podcast, whatever. It's, what is it, the Blue Horseshoe?
The Blue Horseshoe.
Saying, we need to get Bryce Young, no matter what.
Well, at that point, I was like, week 7. They just lost the Titans again. I thought, foolishly, they were too good to tank.
Yeah.
And Jim Mercer said, oh, here's the accelerator. Let's fire Frank Reich and bring in a guy who has no experience in Jeff Saturday. And then here we are sitting there, pick number 4.
Yep. So, you know what? That Vikings game is what we call karma. That is what we call karma. Since you did not originally listen to me when I was trying to give you some big advice here and try to get you to have a little bit more personality on that podcast and start to lead the push and be the guy. You could have been the guy. You would have been known as the guy that led potentially Bryce Young to Indianapolis.
Oh, no, we are that. We are that
no,
guy.
No, you're not.
Yes. No, no one else is on Bryce Young.
No. Nope.
It's weird. It
nope.
is bizarre. All
it's
Colts Nation is
originally.
Infatuated with C.J. Stroud. There's not a lot of big Will Levis camp.
Well,
you know,
that's
fans,
also but. Another thing. And we talk about this all the time. Shouldn't and would. Like you said, there was 0% chance that Jeff Saturday was going to get the job. You're not right on that. Because as I tried to explain to you 9,000 times, as even though you're arrogantly looking at me right now and you're looking for your flowers, you can't claim that you were right on that when you said there was a 0% chance that he was going to get a second interview, and then he did the next day. In this case, they were considering him, and I tried to explain this. It wasn't likely that he was going to get the job, but there was still a chance, and that's where we just disagreed. Now, with Bryce Young, here's what I think you're doing right now. You should get your hopes up, and you should want who you think is the best quarterback. But you're almost at a point where I think you've even said this, you don't want C.J. Stroud.
Bryce or bust.
So let's just say the Texans move up to 1, and C.J. Stroud's still there at 4. You would be upset with that draft pick.
I'll be upset with anyone that is not Bryce Young. Yes, that is correct.
Even though C.J. Stroud could be a really good quarterback in the NFL.
He could be. I would be disappointed.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong if that's the case. But
Colts
definitely
fans,
draft night, if it's C.J. Stroud, they say the name for the Colts, disappointment without a doubt.
Colts fans, reserve a bust in Canton, Ohio for C.J. Stroud. You'll hear from Jeff Saturday next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, team. We've got a game to win. So here's the strategy. Deposit $200 at BetUS.com and get $450 immediately to play with. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You know, I will say this about Frank Reich, even though I don't love the hire with Carolina. Something that I do like right away is the staff that he's assembling. Because you got Avero, who comes over from Denver as a defensive coordinator, now going to be their DC in Carolina. Jim Caldwell is going to be a senior offensive assistant. You got Dom Capers coming in to be a senior defensive assistant. And RG3 put a good tweet out there documenting all these moves. You get an assistant head coach and a running backs coach in Deuce Daly, who's a well-respected coach in this league for the last few years, you know, when he hooked up with Doug Peterson in Philly. And I think one day could be an NFL head coach in this league. And how about this one, Hickey? Josh McCown is going to be the quarterback coach. So maybe this is the step that Josh McCown wasn't willing to take and then realized it's going to be tough for me to kind of justify getting a head coaching job or a team's not going to do it if I don't go and join some staff. And the Texans wanted to hire him twice in the last 2 years before this search. I guess they did not consider him this time around. I did not hear his name pop up. But now he's going to be the quarterback coach in Carolina. And I do think that's someone that can be a head coach one day. But you're finally just starting to take that step where I don't know if it was true or not. Because I remember someone, I think, reporting it. And I think he was coaching in high school last year. I remember there was like a fake story about it, and then I think there ended up being a correct story about it with McCown being a high school coach last year. But you got a bare minimum go into the college game. Or what you should have done is go into the NFL game. And last year, I didn't get why, if the Texans really wanted to hire him but felt like they couldn't, why he wasn't at a bare minimum standpoint then on the Texans staff or on a different NFL staff to make it maybe easier for a team to justify hiring him. Because a lot of people for years said that they believed that he could be a coach one day with how long he did hang around the league, especially at the quarterback position. But when you're not joining an NFL staff or at any point a college staff, it's kind of tough to say, okay, we're going to hire a guy with no coaching experience.
Unless, of course,
you're Jim Irsay.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, yes, you are 100% right. And I guess Josh McCown got the message finally that, hey, maybe I got to get something on my resume here.
A lot of resistance there.
Yeah, I guess he thought maybe Cal McNair and Jim Irsay were one and the same. He thought, oh, he'll just hire me, no big deal. And I guess he learned that lesson the hard way.
Well, Doug Peterson was once coach in high school ball. Like, you could make that step, but eventually you got to go back and coach somewhere in the NFL.
Right. It's not like Doug Peterson came from high school to NFL head coach. Made a few stops along the way.
Yes, more than a few. I think he actually coached Peterson, one of our friend of show, Josh Booty's brother, one of his brothers, in high school. I think Peterson was the coach, one of Booty's brothers was Peterson's quarterback. I remember, I'm pretty sure it was Josh's brother, Jack. I think Jack played quarterback for Doug Peterson when Peterson was a high school coach. But anyway, that's like too much analysis right there, let's just say. Alrighty, let's go to Jeff Saturday. This is Jeff Saturday on a river or a lake. I don't know where the heck he was. He looked like he was like camping and then going into the water, right? Like, would it surprise? Rodgers has the darkness retreat coming up. Would it have surprised you, Hickey, if, well, maybe Jeff Saturday just has a lake house, but that's not as entertaining. If Saturday was waiting to hear from this from the Colts about this job and he just pitched a tent somewhere and said, I'm going to camp out for a week, and then maybe go into a lake or try to get some food. It looked like he was living out in the wild.
It looked like he was enjoying a fishing trip, maybe hoping that was going to somehow, like, you know, the fish he's going to reel in is going to be symbolism for him, like, reeling in the head coaching job.
No.
And then got the probably call, hey, we're going elsewhere.
He had the bait. He was like, where's Jim Irsay? Where's Jim Irsay? You know that commercial where you lower the dollar? You ever see that with the fish rod? It's like, nope, didn't get it.
Gotta be faster than that.
That was Jeff Saturday, a little worm on the fishing rod. And Jim Irsay, I think he latched onto it. And then Chris Ballard came in like a shark and said, nah, you're not reeling us up today. I'm going to eat whatever fish you were trying to catch. Because I do think Jim Irsay, if it was, I know he's the owner, so technically it is up to him. But if he was the only one involved in the search, Hickey, then I do think Jeff Saturday would have got the job. But I think there was enough voices and intelligent voices or just logical voices in the room. I'm not even going to say intelligent, just people following logic that said, Jim, you can't do this. And maybe after 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 27 people told Jim not to do it, then Jim finally came to the realization that his dream of having Jeff Saturday as the full-time coach was just not going to come to fruition.
It's good to know there's people in the Colts organization whose eyes are connected to their brain and realize what we're seeing,
yeah,
it is not working. The brain does not make sense. And Jim Irsay, for whatever reason, took a while to get there, but he's there, most importantly.
Now, here's the one thing. This would be my greatest fear if I'm you this year.
This is you being me. And
yes.
My greatest fear is for this upcoming season is what?
If you don't have a respectable season, I could see Jim Irsay saying, see, I wanted to hire Jeff Saturday. Chris Ballard, you're gone because you convinced me not to hire Jeff Saturday. And not that I think there's any expectations in year one. And I'm not saying Steichen would be gone, but then he would kind of look at it as, okay, I got to go on out there and make a move, get rid of Ballard. He's not the guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, if the Colts are 3 or 4 wins this year, I do think that would be the end of Chris Ballard for many reasons, but I do think Irsay would get a little petty and go, you were the guy that prevented me from hiring the guy that I wanted to hire. And it could be a one-year gamble here for Chris Ballard if he doesn't show some signs of competence this year.
Yeah, if we're talking about 4-13 season, again, I would agree that probably Chris Ballard is done. I will say Jim Irsay, I think, falls into the Jerry Jones camp in terms of people think he's quick on the trigger. I think he's actually more patient than we give him credit for.
Has he really had a coach in there that you felt like he kept around too long?
Chuck Pagano was a guy that divided the fan base a lot in terms of trying to win a Super Bowl right now. Is Chuck actually the guy that's going to be here? Bring them to the promised land? I think that would probably be the most recent one. And even Ryan Grigson kind of keeping him around a little bit too long, as we know, with some of the just disastrous drafts he's had after 2012. I would say those two guys probably
Pagano's
within
fair.
Recent history, but
didn't Pagano have like 3 11 win seasons to start off his? I know the 1 year Arians was the coach when unfortunately he was battling cancer.
Yes,
but I'm pretty. Didn't Pagano get credited for those wins? I think
technically you may be right. I got to look back. I'm not sure if Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians
was coach of the year because he was like 12 or 13 games. It was a good amount of time he was filling in. They got to the playoffs. And then, got to the, divisional round, championship round the next 2 years. And then really after 2015.
He had the Jason Garrett years, like the 8-8.
Kind of crater. Luck was hurt. Things were a mess.
Yeah, Pagano, I guess I'll give you. Or maybe kept him around a year extra than what he did. The one that stands out in recent memory, and it's not Irsay based, but Arthur Blank keeping Dan Quinn around, that seemed like two years too long. Like, he should have made that move a little bit earlier.
And he was fired, was it 5 games into the year? So it was
something
crazy
early.
Where it's like one of those, like, he should have been brought back, nothing changed, and then right away it's like, okay, this is a mistake, let's
go. And they waited to fire Pagano until after that season, right? They went 8-8, and then they had a really bad drop-off, but he got the entire year.
Yeah, so that was the year Andrew Luck missed as well, which doesn't help, but.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So it was time. You know, looking back on that one, with the 3 years and the 2 years of mediocrity, and then they were without Luck for that entire 2017. That was when Brissett started, right?
Jacoby Brissett.
The first go-around?
It was, I forgot who started week one, because it was even, he didn't start week one because he got there too late. It was, I think, Scott Tolzien started week one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was a disaster.
The Patriots traded him
The Colts traded
for Philip Dorsett.
Yes. Like, literally, like the week after cuts were made, or the week before, I think it was like Labor Day weekend. So it was, 2017 was a dark year, as you could see.
Gotcha. I'm trying to see who was the quarterback then for game one. Wow, you guys
pretty
lost.
Sure Scott Tolzien.
You guys
like,
lost to the Rams,
like 46-0 or something like that.
46-9.
Yeah. Oh, they got 9 points. Okay, there you go.
It was Scott Tolzien.
Yeah, he was so bad. Brissett
didn't play in that game.
He had to come in, knowing probably like 5 plays at that point.
Yeah.
That's how bad Tolzien was.
Jeez,
it was ugly.
He was 9 of 18 for 128 yards, 2 interceptions.
Not as bad as honestly I would have guessed.
right?
50% completion percentage.
Well, I bet you they ran the ball a lot. And that's what, when you're down that much and you're running the ball, that's when you know you didn't really have much.
Yeah, that's the ultimate waving the white flag.
All right, so anyway, to stop preventing us from going this and getting sidetracked with other things, here's Jeff Saturday thanking Colts Nation and congratulating Shane Steichen as I guess he's on some fishing trip.
What's up, everybody? Hey, first, I just want to say to the Colts organization, to Colts Nation, how much I appreciate the opportunity. I'm so grateful for the last 8 weeks of the season and the opportunity to represent you guys. I appreciate the coaches for all your time, energy, and effort, to all the players laying it out there each and every week. I can't tell you how much I respect and appreciate what each and every player, not only for the Colts, but the NFL do and what they put on the line each and every week. But it was an absolute blessing. I look fondly upon it. Wish we would have done better, but ultimately that is where it is. And so I want to wish Coach Steichen the best of luck. I'm still a huge Colt fan and pulling for you guys. Looking forward to hoisting some Lombardi trophies and excited for your opportunity. Yeah, yeah. So for everybody out there, including the however many thousand that signed the petition, which may have included my wife and son, not exactly sure, but in all honesty, I'm so grateful for Colts Nation and who you are to represent the horseshoe. It meant the world to me. And again, Coach Steichen, best of luck to you and your family. In Indianapolis is an incredible town. Best fans in the world, man. You're going to get the greatest support. And look forward to watching your success and the rest of the men in that locker room and the coaching staff that you have with you. So to all Colts Nation, appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And see you soon.
If you would have told me that was a Saturday Night Live skit, Hickey, I would have believed you.
What's wrong with that? What's the issue?
Oh, my wife was even signing the petition. The guy spoke way too long, and it was so unnecessary.
90 seconds, I would agree.
That's brutal.
The joke, I will say, the petition joke was very funny. For those who don't know, there's like 5,000 Colts fans signed a petition, do not hire Jeff Saturday.
If Larry the Cable Guy was an NFL head coach, he would be Jeff Saturday. That was very Larry the Cable Guy-esque.
Except
he's trying to be funny.
Jeff, I appreciate the words, buddy. Now I'm glad I can like him again. That's all I got
to say. Also, the line that I love the most is Saturday, continuing to drink that Jim Irsay water, whatever they serve in that Colts facility, about multiple Lombardis in this decade. Give me a break.
Well, now you know why.
How about you make the playoffs,
you clown? Tight. Because they drink the same water. They talk the same language.
Yeah, they order the same pom-poms from Amazon. Give me a break.
8 years, what, two Lombardis to go? Who's counting?
If that was me, and I was the interim head coach, and I didn't get the job, you want to send a tweet out? Fine. But a nearly two-minute video, it was very unnecessary. I would just send a tweet out, like, thanks, Colt Nation, whatever you want to call them, for the time as the head football coach. Did not go the way that I wanted it to, but wish Mr. Irsay and everyone else nothing but the best. Congratulations, Shane. Very simple tweet instead of that just rambling video and bloviating video.
If Matthew Slater, in this random world 10 years from now, somehow was the interim coach of the Patriots for 10 games, it went terribly.
I don't need a video.
What did you want in a little video? Just
say
it's not some
you
random
want to forget this.
Interim coach.
No.
It's a guy that was a franchise legend, revered by all Colts fans for what he did on the field, and in a 9-game sample size or 8-game sample size.
Bro.
Had the most regrettable
I'm the same person that trashes all these thank you notes and all these tribute videos for guys that have done nothing. You separate the player from what he did as a coach. As your interim head coach, I don't need Jeff Saturday to be sending out a thank you video. That's ridiculous.
We'll say different from him compared to the Colts.
Sure. You don't think Jim Irsay, I didn't listen to the press conference in its entirety. He didn't thank Jeff Saturday today at that press conference?
He did thank him.
Of course.
But there's no tweet. There's no video. There's no inspirational video with him on the sidelines.
Wait until midnight. I'm standing outside the private jet. I like to thank Jeff Saturday for his... You have the engine run in the background, and you can't hear anything that Jim Irsay says. That video's coming.
That's probably for the best. You can't hear what he's saying.
He probably recorded the video right before he picked up Shane Steichen, and he's just waiting to release it. All right, we'll do a little QB draft next as we'll try to draft the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL entering the 2023 season with the 2022 season behind us.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we've had a lot of pretty big name quarterbacks retire in the last 3-4 years or so. And also you've seen quarterbacks who still could be in the top 10, but one in Russell Wilson who fell off this year, and someone like Deshaun Watson who practically hasn't played in 2 seasons, and you don't know how much rust there still is to knock off. So I was thinking about this the other day, since there's a lot of young quarterbacks who are now in the top 10. If we had to do a draft, and I made 5 selections, Hickey made 5 selections, and we go in order, and just make this who we think are the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. Like, I know there's sometimes we do drafts where I go, oh, Hickey, I don't think he'll take this one, so I'll wait. I want to do this who we genuinely think are the top 10 quarterbacks in this league, and I just want to use your voice, and we'll use mine, to just have 2 different voices on this little checks and balances in case if a name starts to slide, or maybe at the end see who we're really differentiating on in terms of who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. So I'll start first. I'll clearly go with Patrick Mahomes. You?
I will go then with Joe Burrow.
Okay. I'm in agreement there. I will then go with Josh Allen.
I will go Aaron Rodgers, but I think this is when it starts to get tough.
Okay. I did not have Aaron Rodgers that high up on the list. He's obviously in the top 10, but I had 2 to 3 names in front of him. So the next name that I'll give you is Trevor Lawrence.
Hmm. In order, right?
This yes.
Interesting.
I had 1 quarterback in front of Trevor. Excuse me. My list was Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Trevor Lawrence, and then this next guy would have been in the top 5, but you went with Rodgers.
This is, I'm in a...
Entering 2023, this is what this list is for.
Rocking a hard place here. I guess I'm going to go Justin Herbert.
Okay, that was not the name. Jalen Hurts.
That's the guy I was between, Herbert and Hurts.
Yep. So you went with Justin Herbert. So right now, it's Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, Herbert, Jalen Hurts. Next up.
7 names off the board, right?
Yes.
Going into 2023, he still deserves the benefit of the doubt despite injuries. I'll go Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Now, this is where it gets tricky.
Yes. Very much so.
Now, to be clear, all 8 of those names I had, and then I was going to originally do this segment, is let me pick my top 10 quarterbacks in the league, just me. And then I started to do the humina, 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 humina. Because after that, it's tough. So let's just do names we'll consider here.
Okay, in the mix for the last 2. I like
Let's
that.
Let's work together. You consider Deshaun Watson. You consider Russell Wilson. You consider Dak Prescott. And I would consider Kirk Cousins.
Let me throw
any other names that we have to consider. 3.
3.
Okay.
Would you put Jared Goff into consideration?
Thought about it.
Entering 2023.
Thought about it just outside the top 10. Because it was 1 year for me.
Okay. How about Matthew Stafford?
I'm skeptical on his return with injury and how much longer he will play, but yeah, he's in the conversation. That's a good one.
Would you put 2 in there?
No.
What about Kirk Cousins?
I already put Kirk in there.
You did? Okay,
yeah.
So I missed that.
Watson, Wilson, Dak, and Kirk. Those are 4 names that
I
consider.
That's what I have.
Man, this is tough. I'm like really thinking Kirk Cousins because his stats are always good, but I have no trust in him in the postseason. You know what? I'll hold my nose when I say this. And I'm going to hold my nose. I do not think he's probably the 8th best quarterback in the NFL. Or this be 9th?
This is 9, yes. We 9. Have 8 already. 2 left.
Really slim pickings here.
Yes, this is tough.
I'll go Russ. I'm not saying he's going to be great. But can he be good again? Yeah. With Sean, because they brought in Sean.
I'm
don't like it, though.
You've been very down on Russell Wilson.
I don't like it. Like, honestly, out of those quarterbacks for next year, I may trust Kirk the most. Just because you know he's going to throw toss like 35 touchdowns or something like that.
That's true. Not throw a lot of picks.
Now, don't get me wrong. Wild card round, I'll be like, get away, get away, get away.
I don't know if I would. You know me, I'm high on Russ. Going in 2023, I don't think I'd probably put him
really?
In the top 10.
Because you know what's funny? A few weeks ago when you said, oh, he's still a top 10 quarterback, I pushed back on you. And now, a few weeks later, we have reversed on that.
I feel like he will play that and at the end of the year. I just don't know if he can say that.
I don't feel good about
into
it.
Into the 2023 season. I get it. I mean,
but
also
who's the guy that
like,
you feel good here?
I would go Matthew Stafford. Now, I get it's tough. Guy's been banged up injuries.
I thought you were definitely going to go Watson.
When he played, I know. I just can't. With the way Deshaun Watson played last year and not played in basically almost 2 years, a year and a half.
And the Browns always have a stench around them that whenever you think you have the guy, it ends up not being the guy.
I would say probably Dak, Kirk, Goff, three quarterbacks I would consider over right now, at least Deshaun Watson for next year.
Yeah, Dak just had a bad season this year, I thought, and there's injuries now as well. Goff, how close is he actually being the quarterback that he was this year? And for Kirk, there's always that stench of the shortcomings when the games are actually mattering most. So we go Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Rodgers, Lawrence, Herbert, Hurts, Lamar, Russ, and Stafford. Those are the five that I drafted, the five that you drafted to make the list 10. So really what we know, in no order, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Rodgers, Lawrence, Herbert, Hurts, and Lamar. We're both in agreement, are in whatever order you want, the eight best quarterbacks in football entering next season. 9 and 10? Who the heck knows? Coming on back with the news brief. And Steve Spagnuolo will join us in 25 minutes from now.